Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast's hit.
6:03 this morning, and oh gosh, you can't wait for the week to be over, Christy.
It's your Monday. What are you on about?
I know. I had yesterday off. It was fantastic.
Welcome
it was a 3-day
back.
Weekend. And guess what?
What?
I've got the whole of next week off as well.
Yeah, I know. You're leaving me on my birthday. Normally, as a rule, what you do
it's
is.
Your birthday present.
Yeah. Actually, thank you.
Normally, as a rule.
Yeah, I was going to say, normally, as a rule, that what you do is you make sure that you put some sort of soiree on for your workmates. I made sure that your birthday was amazing. Little surprise for you with balloons everywhere. But am I going to get nothing?
I guess the difference is that, and this is the irony, is that I hate my birthday. I don't want any fuss made. I don't like presents. I don't like cake. I don't like, actually, I do like cake, but that's about it. And then you made a habit in the show on my birthday of giving me gifts. So
does that mean then
when you're the opposite
you don't like
way around?
It, you're not going to it to somebody else?
It's that you expect it, I guess, because you've done it. And I think that's wrong. I think this is I'll teach you a lesson on your birthday. Don't do things expecting for things to be done unto you.
No, okay. I'm not expecting anything. I'm not expecting a gift. I'm
and
not
that's
expecting
my gift.
Some sort of celebration.
Yeah.
But the idea is that why would you leave me on my own? Because I can't just go, good morning, happy Monday. Guess what? It's my birthday. I sound like a fool.
As opposed to.
What a great way to start the week.
Did you have to come back today?
I did have to come back today. No, look, I didn't want to take the holidays. Our boss has said, oh, take 10 days of annual leave, please, before June 30. And I was like, oh, okay, but I can't take the, because South Australia shut its border, so I had to cancel my flights and the wedding I was meant to be best man at.
Which
didn't go ahead anyway, but I'm wasting 2 weeks, more or less, of annual leave buggering about around the house.
You do realise you're not the only one. There's lots of people out there that are in the same predicament.
Yeah, good on them. I'm telling you my woes at the moment. This is what I'm about, right? Telling you my problems. I don't care about your problems at the moment.
Can you just play some music?
No.
Wake up. Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
Christy, you're giggling like a little child over there just before. You'd seen something amusing on your computer, I dare say.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to read you this. Brothers aged 8, 10 and 12 believed a spider bite would turn them into Spidey. Spider-Man. imaginations. I'm sorry.
They didn't do it, though.
No. They were hospitalised. It's actually serious.
Oh, my goodness.
The little brothers.
Tell me the story.
The Black Widow spider, a venomous spider, of course.
Yeah.
They were out in the woods and they were collecting firewood. Mum sort of disappeared, getting little bits and pieces, and the boys found this black spider and thought,
oh, God.
I've always dreamed to be Spider-Man. Who needs a costume when you can turn into the real one?
8,
so
10
like,
and 12.
Boys. Yeah, 8, 10 and 12. Let's make the spider bite us.
Did they all get bitten?
They all got bitten and all got hospitalised.
Oh, wow.
The sad reality
kind of,
is,
what
though,
kind of spider was it, sorry?
A black widow.
Oh, my goodness.
The sad reality is, though, they didn't turn into Spider-Man.
They didn't turn into Scarlett Johansson, did they?
No. You can see their little imaginations going, I'm just going to shoot my web.
Did you ever do that at school or, like, growing up? I remember when Tobey Maguire became Spider-Man. It was, like, 2000, 2001. And I was about 12, and I remember doing you had to get the hand movement right. This is how you do it. You got your pinky finger and your pointer finger out and your thumb. The other ones
like
are pointed inwards.
Yeah.
And it comes out of the wrist as well.
They would have believed it as well after they got bitten. They'd be like, let's shoot everywhere.
That's the one thing I wish they'd kept with the Avengers Spider-Man. Because he doesn't. Iron Man made him a little thing to wear on his wrist.
Oh, that's right.
And he just fills it up with more goop. I think that's a cop-out. Spider-Man is meant to have spider webs coming out of him. Wait for it. I know we had this in the background, but just listen to this. This is great.
Stop it.
Yeah. Oh, God, they need to bring back Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. It was the best Spider-Man.
He was the hottest.
I saw many spiders growing up. I don't think I ever once considered going, come here and have a little bite on my finger because I want to climb a wall.
What I want to know is, yeah, sure, one thing going and picking it up, but how do they know it was going to bite them? Because some spiders are more scared of us than
I think they just guessed. In fact, our mate Terry was over my house last week. He was over the house because you can do it now, and there was a huntsman.
Oh,
and
here
he's like,
we go.
He's like, oh, and
I'll be the hero.
Lauren, my housemate, was like, oh, get it out of the house, get it out of the house. And I thought, that's a weird looking huntsman. Had like a back on it that had all these different marks and things on it. And that was a weird huntsman. Anyway, he picks it up and it bites him on the finger. I didn't know huntsmen could bite.
Neither did I.
I thought they were sort of benign and didn't do much. But I mean, they hunt men. It's in the name, isn't it? And apparently, he was a little bit crook that night.
Oh,
a little bit crook. He didn't even really consider that that could have happened.
Cramps and, is all he got. He didn't get the superpowers.
Well, we don't know. He's always had big muscles, so we're just really not sure. It could be. He could be the next incarnation.
The Mid North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Barge.
On Hit FM.
Those two boys, three boys rather, that had the spider. The Black Widow that they thought if they bit them, they would turn into Spider-Man.
A venomous spider, by the way.
Yeah, Black Widows are highly venomous.
Yeah, so they didn't get their superpowers. They did get cramps and a whole lot of other pains
maybe
and ended
that's
up in hospital.
The start. Maybe they wake up after being crook like Tobey Maguire did and they're just ripped, shredded 12-year-olds.
We can all dream, and I blame movies for obviously where our imaginations go. I remember as a kid. Wizard of Oz. Oh, I would always wear my red shoes. And I had glitter red shoes as well. Or if I didn't have the red ones on, I just had other glitter ones, like gold ones, and I'd go, right, tap my heels three times.
Did you think you were Dorothy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I look anything like Dorothy with the blonde hair versus what she is, brunette.
Well, it's a fun fact for you. Dorothy was originally meant to be blonde.
Oh. Yeah. But then she looked too much like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, well, maybe that comparison had been made. I'm really not sure. But they originally were going to get her to dye her hair, but then one of the producers said, nah, brown hair.
Yeah, she needed to be different to Alice. Who came first, Alice or Dorothy? Oh, who knows?
Anyway. I don't know. That's a whole lot. Yeah. So did you take anything else out of films? Like movies particularly over TV shows I find are more people when they're younger – sort of identify with different characters and try and be different characters. Like you can't move. When an adventure film is coming out, you cannot move for kids running around in a Captain America or an Iron Man mask pretending they're Tony Stark and whatever else.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Really?
I would make sure I'd wear the cargo pants and the white
Glad cargo pants have gone. I saw them at Target sitting there on special. I thought, no one's going to buy them. No one's going to buy them. But the ruby slippers... When that scene, that
think
iconic.
To yourself,
oh.
There's no place like home.
Oh, yeah.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home.
Let's do it. Let's tap our feet together so we can go home, back to bed.
See, I was totally different to you. That was nice and sort of sweet and innocent. I wanted to travel around space and time because Doctor Who was the biggest show in the whole world to me when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I've grown out of it a little bit now.
No, you haven't.
I have.
No, you haven't.
everyone's got that sort of little nerd gene in them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be nerdy. It's just something that they like that maybe other people don't, and they just sort of keep it down inside of them, and they pretend that they're them. And I used to look for jelly babies at the shops so I could offer people jelly babies, because in the old episodes of that show, he would offer people jelly babies. It's just a simple thing.
But so you just wanted to be a science guru? Is that what Doctor Who is?
No. I just wanted to travel. He had this little box, you go in it, it's massive on the inside, you can travel anywhere, anywhen. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that? Let's be honest. If you're a kid, I mean, it's the equivalent of going inside your wardrobe and pretending that it's bigger on the inside and then walking out and pretending you're on another planet. I mean, come on, this is easy. That's easy money to do a show like that.
I would have thought you'd want to be Marty Fly out of Back to the Future.
We didn't have a DeLorean. See, that's quite expensive. Can't really get into Mum's Mitsubishi and just go, yeah.
You can.
The duck's alive. I mean, he's in 1885, but he's alive.
Get up with Christian Bodge on the Mid-North Coast's hit.
And, you know, it is a very blue morning this morning. This is going to be the norm for the next few months, obviously, because... Why are you looking at me like that?
Blue morning? I'm sorry. I'm looking out there going, it's a grey morning.
Sorry, are you really going to be that pedantic?
It's grey.
Can you just shut up?
Okay,
mate, seriously, if you want to say something, make sure it's got substance attached to it.
13, 12, 16, if you're driving right now
colourblind.
Anywhere across the Mid-North Coast and you're looking up to the sky, is it grey or is it blue?
No, come here and look at my eyes. Come around, take your headphones off and come here. I have beautiful blue eyes, do I not?
No, they're grey.
They're not grey. You can't have grey eyes. This is disgusting.
I have grey eyes.
You don't have grey eyes. Hang on, someone's already calling. Someone wants to rag on us probably. Hello, good morning.
It's actually grey, and Bod, you're really cranky this morning.
No, it's not grey. Who is this?
You're giving her a really hard time this morning, mate.
I can't hear too well, sorry. You muffled. Are you on loudspeaker or are you eating a bun or something?
You're giving her a hard time this morning.
What's your name?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, yes, you can.
Right, okay.
It's Nick.
Just your first name?
Nick.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for defending
right, well,
me, Nick,
on,
but I'm glad you agree I'm not colourblind as well.
Nick, I just want to take the time to wish you a happy Tuesday.
What's with the sexy music, by the way?
It's the only romantic music I've got. And I'm sorry if I brought you down with my bad temper, but... Unfortunately, I am a beacon of light to all those who hate morning times and want the world to also share in their pain and misery. And it's just who I am. I've been here for 3 years. Unfortunately, I'm not going to change. But good news is, as soon as 7 o'clock hits, coffee shop opens. Hang on, wait.
You don't drink coffee.
Oh.
Can you just stop talking right now? Nick, thank you for calling in. And hopefully your day brightens. And I know Bodge is not going to help with that.
No,
but
I'll try my best.
See ya.
Bye. It's not grey out there. It's bluey grey.
Oh, you need to get some...
Blue grey.
Bloody glasses.
It's not... Oh, God. Don't
to get up. A fresh way to get up.
Christian Bodge on Hit FM.
Have you heard of Fusden?
No, I haven't heard of Fusden, but you've been talking about it, so I'm expecting it to be something quite impressive.
It's nothing new. It's a subculture in Japan. It's been around for a little while, and it's just recently come to light because people keep talking about it. It's trending online about this underground custom in Japan where diners, after eating every ounce of food, flip their bowls over as a way to say thank you before they leave the shop.
Is that the thing that they do?
So I've got a boyfriend that every time he finishes a meal... He'll lick the bowl or plate dry. So he has this theory you don't have to put it in the dishwasher and it's clean and you can put it back in the cupboard. He's done that since he was a little kid and his parents had to deal with that they never had to wash his plates.
No, he doesn't actually put them back in the cupboard.
Not with me because I know that I'm going to go find it later on.
Tell? How are you able to tell if he's licked it?
Well, you can't. He's licked it dry clean.
Oh, I'm not going to rag on him because it's a horrible thing to do when he's probably listening.
But this is a tradition in Japan where a way to say thank you, and it's disgusting because...
Not eating at your house again, by the way.
There would be ridiculous people out there, and I'm sure you would do it just to test a waiter.
Yeah.
To not lick everything clean and you would flip it over because I know what you're like.
Mm.
When it comes to how cranky you get over the dishwasher here, if someone doesn't rinse out their bowl and puts it upside down in the dishwasher.
I've never thought that the dishwasher, because I don't like using them. I don't know if you've ever had it, but glasses, when you put them in there particularly, if you sniff a glass after it's come out the dishwasher, it smells odd. I don't like it. And I feel like I have to rinse it and give it another wash. But when, particularly with our dishwashers, because they don't fill up for a while. We've got limited amount of crockery and whatever else. So I feel like if things are going to be left in there for more than a day, which they shouldn't be realistically, they probably shouldn't have muck on there going hard because the dishwasher's going to work extra hard and probably won't get it all off. So just give it a rinse before you put in. That's all I do. We've got a nice new building here. It's beautiful. I'd like to keep it that way.
You're one of those people that's a bit like my mother-in-law and my own mum, where they basically wash the dish prior to even putting it in the dishwasher, and you think, what are you doing? What's the point of even then putting it in the dishwasher? You may as well just scrubbed it a little bit harder.
Exactly.
And there you go.
Exactly. I don't think we need two dishwashers. We've got two dishwashers here. we don't even need them. I think that it's overkill. It's nice. It's fancy. But I think that, you know, like most people, most places of work, not everyone's at work at the moment. So when everyone's finally allowed to come back in, maybe it will be able to tackle the mountain of dishes that people are using. But at the moment, it just seems a little bit too much. So
yeah, it's one of those things that if you leave the dishwasher for too many days not being cleaned, yes, it's going to reek. And that's what I feel like with this fused and this face down bowl thing. It's like, it's out of it's disrespectful to the waiters. It's not saying thank you, because didn't you get taught when you'd finished a meal at a restaurant that you put your little forks and knives together so they know that
that's done, despite
the fact that there's food left over? Because let's be honest, sometimes the meals are huge. I know Japan doesn't have big portion sizes like we do.
That's right, yeah. Small portions, but lots of courses normally.
But when you have a whole lot of rice, like sushi and that,
yeah,
it can fill you up. So I feel that if I'm going to have a katsudon, I'm not going to be able to finish the entire bowl. If it's a tradition to turn it over to say thank you, well, I'm going to be turning the rice upside down onto the table.
Well, what happens if you have udon and some like
miso,
you know,
soup?
Yeah, oh, miso soup, that's going to be. But the thing is that this sparks a lot of questions. Sparks a lot of questions now, because there are a lot of different cultures where they celebrate their food in a different way. There's belching as a sign of thanks as well.
What's belching?
Burping.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. 13, 12, 16, maybe you're from a background that's got a specific way of saying thank you, or maybe you do something strange with food when you finish. Please do give us a call, let us know. The other one that I do like, now this is whenever I go to Chinese restaurants in Adelaide, because there's a street called Gujar Street, which is quite famous for Chinese food. Mm-hmm. Something I learnt there is if you run out of green tea, what you do is you turn the teapot lid upside down and put it on, and it fits in there, and they know that means to go and fill it up for a bit more.
Why don't you just put it to the edge of the table with the lid off?
Because they walk past it. They walk past it. They're very busy there. They're very busy at these restaurants. So the signal is, and I don't know if that's everywhere, but the signal is to just turn the lid upside down, and then bang, you've got that there. That's fine.
I'm going to test out whether or not a waiter sees if I turn my wine cup upside down, they know that it's empty and I need more wine.
Oh, I think it's safer just to go, just get the knife and just start tapping on it. Ding, 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 ding.
Waiter!
Can I please have some wine, sir?
I'm desperate. Give me more.
Desperate and drinking wine.
Hit FM with Christy and Varge.
A fresh way to get up.
On your radio.
We were talking, obviously, about what do you call it? Fused on. Fused on.
It's the flipping the bowl as a way to say thank you when you finished your meal. It's a Japanese underground sort of custom. It's taking the world by storm right now. People complaining about it, that I don't even know how it became a custom, because apparently in their subculture, it's not something that they normally do. It's just people that have visited there gone, oh, well, all right, let's flip the bowl over as a way to say thank you.
Well, it sounds like it's just one place that does it, especially if it's a subculture of Japanese culture. Mm. I mean, I've not seen it, certainly, but if it's going round, it's going round. There was something we did bring up, though, that I think we'll touch on a little bit more, and that is the story of the dishwasher. The dishwasher is the laziest of all ways of cleaning dishes. You just bung them in there, go, yep, machine will take care of that. No. Dishwashing is one of those beautiful, kind of relaxing, almost meditative things to do. I need to do it. I need to wash dishes. I need a fresh Scotch Brite. All right, this is how you know you're getting old as well.
Oh.
I need a fresh Scotch Brite. I need the brightest yellow of sponge and the cleanest Scotch of green. I don't know if that's right. Doesn't matter. And I like to scrub. I don't like those, you know, those other sticks that you can get with the detergent in the handle. And I think they're lazy. I think people just give them a, put a little bottle of water, done. Now, we've got one at home, actually. But I like the rectangle Scotch Brite.
The one with the soft on one side and the rough edges on the other side?
Therapeutic to wash dishes. And I learnt this at a young age. Now, I'm someone that can get quite upset sometimes, can get quite angry, sometimes a little bit frustrated.
Because you missed a perfectionist.
I'm not a perfectionist in the slightest. Not a perfectionist. I'm far from perfect.
You know what you do wrong, though, with that? You know what you do wrong, though, Mr. Perfect?
Mm.
You know when you scrub that timber chopping board?
Mm.
You're destroying its goodness. You're destroying the timber and making it, I don't know, peel apart over some time because you basically bathe it in the water and you scrub it incredibly hard. Okay. You're ruining it.
Well, no one's going to get linseed oil and just give it a little wipe. So I thought, well, I've got to clean it the only way I can. I've got to get that beetroot juice out somehow, pal. Got to get it out. But I think we're glazing over this too much. It's therapeutic to wash dishes. When we don't wash dishes, what happens is, they like what's happening here, the dishwashers are taking place of human hand washing, and now we're starting to find that we're getting a little bit angrier because we're relying on machines too much. Look at me when I come in, the computer's not playing ball. Computer's not ready to go. I'm ready to go. I get angry. I think this is where it is. We go back to nature. I've already given the toilet away. I've dug a hole in the back. Yeah. I'm going straight back to nature. So, you know, I think we just take time to appreciate the dishwash because when you wash dishes, you wash yourself clean. You clean your soul as well, Christy.
Can you go do some dishes then?
I'm going to, well, we don't have any detergent. I'm going to have to use the dishwasher.
Wake up, wake up. Get up with Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast's hit.
Christy, have you been out since the cafes and restaurants and things have sort of started opening their doors to seated patrons?
The only one time I've done that is last week when you had your original co-host here, Rach Hart.
Yeah, that's right.
And we sat and had breakfast. Yeah. It was the first time I actually sat within a cafe.
It was awkward as well because we were sitting so far apart. But the thing is that from the 1st of June, up to 50 patrons will be allowed seated in restaurants and cafes, which is great. It's a great big step.
Mm.
A lot of people are saying we might not be ready for it, which is potentially true. I don't know. But it's nice to know that we'll have some form of normality back. But this is the one that I've been pondering this point that someone made to me, and I read a story on it as well, that while some businesses have been open with limited seating.
With just 10, yeah.
People have been booking to try and get in, obviously, because you've got to try and get in before other people.
Well, it's the right thing to do as well.
Yeah, just call them up, make sure that they're open, and they're not showing up.
Mm.
So they're like, no, there's two people coming here. We booked that table, and then other people are being sent away. So
no shows are the no-go.
Well,
really, it's a bit unfair, and it's a bit unfair to the business because they're preparing for the 10 people that are going to be there. Could you imagine being the one sitting there, right, waiting in line?
Imagine,
and you see reserved there and you go, well, where are they?
Imagine you are a table, you're a restaurant or a cafe that can seat 50 to 100 people, but you can only have 10 in there. Imagine the amount of wages you're trying to cover. I know the government's helping out with some of that, but imagine all of the overheads and everything else. You're still trying to make a buck and you've got that limited seating. So particularly on the Mid-North Coast, obviously, I think we've been pretty good with that sort of stuff. But at the bigger places, the Sydney's and Melbourne's, and there's a couple in Perth as well. I've read stories about people who own small businesses that are just they're struggling more because they're setting aside these tables. They're trying to help people out by allowing bookings.
Well, if you're going to book and you've got circumstances like you're not feeling the best, just call out of courtesy
of
and
course,
say no.
Yeah.
But then it gets worse. Something I witnessed over the weekend, a particular place that I was trying to go for lunch, lined up, waited to go in, and it was quite a lengthy wait. And in the end, we turned away and just went, oh, we're just going to get fish and chips and sit on the grass because there was an elderly man, and I'm not saying it's just the elderly that looked to do this, but he had a takeaway coffee, not a coffee in a mug, a takeaway coffee, and he was reading his newspaper sitting there at a table on his own.
So what?
I feel like if you're going to have a takeaway coffee, that means you can take it away and go somewhere else and reserve that table for somebody. I know a lot of businesses have time limits put in place where it might be like, I don't know, 45 minutes to sit there if you've got a coffee, or an hour if you've got food. But I feel there needs to be some sort of a blanket rule that if you're going to be on your own with a takeaway cup,
well, what if he's got,
it means you can get up and go and sit, because what's the difference between sitting on a table or a bench seat over there on the little park bench?
I got two questions. First off, I'm pretty sure don't all cafes and restaurants have everything in takeaway containers?
Well, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
It might be.
And what happens if he's a lonely old man, doesn't have anyone?
I get that. I'm just saying that maybe perhaps...
Saying he doesn't deserve a table because he's a lonely old man. He should go off to the bench, you. Go on, off to the bench.
I think it's using and abusing...
You don't deserve a table. You haven't got any friends.
It's using,
is that what you're saying?
No, it's using and abusing the time limits that are there because someone else is probably looking forward to food like we were. And because he was sitting there having his little takeaway coffee, reading his paper, we then couldn't get a table.
Poor old bloke. He just wants to sit and read his paper and have some of what is left of his life back to normal. But no, you want to sit down with your boyfriend that licks plates clean and puts them back in the cupboard and have fish and chips. Go and sit in the grass, you grot.
Get up with Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast, Hit FM.
Social practices always interest me, particularly when I see something that looks out of place. You know what I mean? Like where you see... people stepping over cracks so they don't touch the cracks, just things weird like that. Another thing that I kind of am interested in is, you know how if you wanted to go for a walk down the street, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't go shirtless, could you, without getting in some kind of strife?
Like complete kit off, no bra, no nothing.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
You boobies hanging out.
Yeah, wear pants, but you can't wear a shirt, right? So that's the situation. So you can't do that. And yet a lot of blokes do it, obviously, because that's fine.
Well, you don't have something that's, I guess, classed as nude.
What tartars?
Your bits out.
Yeah, okay. But see, I'm not saying that's right. What I'm saying is yesterday I went for a drive to Foster. No reason. There's no reason for it. And you know what? Was not a very productive drive. I went to the shops there and that was it. And I was like, all right, well, better go home then. it was raining. It was horrible. And there wasn't much to do in Foster. Everything was shut. And I was like, well, probably pretty... No, I don't know what there is to do in Foster regardless. 13, 12, 16, please do let me know. But I saw a bloke who was walking through the shopping centre with no shirt on. And I thought to myself, I don't think that's right. And it wasn't just because he was severely overweight and had, like, you know, massive boobs and everything like that. It wasn't that. It was just because I was kind of like... Well, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Imagine if I did that. I've got a hairy chest as well, and I've got a bit of a dad bod going on. No one wants to see that. Why? Just because I'm a guy, I can get away with it? No, wasn't near a beach.
There you go. It depends where you've just come from, because we live in a coastal area. The Mid-North Coast is surrounded by beautiful beaches, and a lot of people in the coastal areas will just come off the beach and go and do their shopping. With no shirts on. Girls, you see them, and it depends where they're going to go next, like if they're going to go to a supermarket or a cafe and they're wearing bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
You see that sort of thing, and you just go, well, they've just come off the beach. Maybe we shouldn't frown upon it because it's hot, although it's not hot at the moment. It's raining.
Yeah. Well, see, I understand it. I understand it. This is another way you can tell you're getting older, right, is when I see younger women, and I'm talking about, like, teenagers, and they're walking around the shops, say for argument's sake, like Port Central. Pick up there as an argument, right? And I see them, they're walking around, they're bathing and stuff like that. I literally go into dad mode and just go, oh, my God. If you were my girl, I'd be getting a towel and just draping it over your shoulders, like just not even saying anything, just putting it over your shoulders and just going, right, let's go get back in the car. Come on, we'll take you back to the beach, back to the beach.
So what is socially accepted then?
Well, I don't know.
When can a bloke
And I'm not shaming girls in the slightest. I'm saying guys shouldn't walk around shirtless.
Yeah, but you've kind of characterised it in that it stereotyped it into bigger men that have boobies like women that they should be wearing a bra.
I didn't say that.
Are the ones that can't go shirtless.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's not very nice to look at. I would
look away.
No, I'm including myself in that category. I'm not super fit. If Chris Hemsworth or Liam Hemsworth, if either of the Hemsworths, including their third brother who's not as hot as them, whose name I can't remember, if Luke, thank you, Luke. If they walked through the shops and they were shirtless, totally fine.
There you go.
Totally fine.
So why can the Hemsworths get away with it?
They're ripped. Everything is in place. They look like, you know, those Roman statues. That's fine.
Why do you have to put them on the pedestal and they're allowed to do it? It's like them...
Because they're the Hemsworth brothers and they're chiseled and perfect. I mean, even I can say that.
It's because they live in Byron Bay. It's the most chillest vibe ever up there.
Nothing to do with where they live.
No one cares about what they wear. They get around the streets with no shoes on.
Actually, Byron is, it's funny you mentioned that. They're kind of the Bermuda Triangle of the situation. Whereas you go there, and I've been there multiple times and seen this, and I've seen people sitting on the floor of, like, you know, of the roundabout. There's a lot of roundabouts everywhere, and they sit there barefoot playing a guitar. It's not even anymore on the footpath busking. It's just in the middle of a roundabout, yeah, just playing. I've seen people, they don't even care about road rules. They just walk out in front of cars like cattle.
In Byron,
it's a very strange place.
They sit there naked as well.
So maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe it's a cultural thing. Guys, if you are, you know, my weight to above, you are now welcome to walk around Christy's house without a shirt, and she will have to be fine with it now because she's flowing the flag for you.
Flowing the flag.
Exactly. I don't know why we needed that debate. I just saw it.
They're blowing in the wind.
I just saw a really incredible-looking gentleman and, you know.
You saw a bit of you and him, didn't you?
I saw the future, and it did not look good. It looked bleak. Big and bleak. God, he's at least a G cup, I reckon, as well.
Wake up. Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
The conversation about my gallbladder has been just, I don't know why I keep bringing it up. I think it's because secretly I want help.
You're not whining and moaning over it and going, look at me for sympathy. You actually legitimately have a problem. And it's sad when we're going live and I see you crippling over there in pain.
You recorded a video last week. I didn't know, because we've got studio videos that record while we talk, and I winced watching it back because I was like, oh no, is it noticeable? And you can actually see me clutching because I'm having pains and things like that. So, normally they go for a long time, but I had a concoction given to me, like a recipe of what to take over the weekend. I need a couple of days, apparently, and it flushes your gallbladder out. It's a mixture of olive oil and some juice and some other stuff. And a bloke's written in named Brad, and he's on the line with us this morning, and he's got a story attached to why it's probably not best to even go through with the olive oil technique. Brad, good morning to you.
Morning.
Now, could you just run us through briefly what you sent to us about your mum?
Yeah, my mum tried the olive oil trick and a few other alternative methods to get rid of gallstones.
Right.
And she thought she'd got them all. Mm. And then after her next attack, she decided to get it removed because she was trying to avoid surgery.
Right, yeah. It's what I'm doing at the moment.
But then when she came out of surgery, they told her she had gallbladder cancer.
Yeah.
But the cancer had spread to her liver because the cancer is very hard to detect in your gallbladder. So we had to go down to Sydney and to remove a large part of her liver. And 3 months later, she passed away. So it was a secondary thing from the gallbladder stones. And she was only 56 at the time. So if it was removed earlier, the cancer wouldn't have got out of the gallbladder and onto her liver, and they would have just taken the gallbladder out and with the cancer.
Yeah. Now, Brad, I'm looking at Bodger's face right now, and he is quite, I guess, overwhelmed by the information.
Fine.
Is trying
it's
to stay
fine.
Cool, calm, collected. Each case is very different to others. It doesn't necessarily mean this could be happening to you, Bodge, but I guess your warning, Brad, to Bodge is that maybe you need to act on it a little bit quicker than what you're doing and just bite the bullet and get it done.
Yes. I actually had gallstones before my mother.
And you did?
Yes, and I had mine removed at 25, and I think Mum died 3 years later.
Right.
From them, and I'm 52 now, and I just about eat everything. I have no tablets.
So you don't
even know.
Yeah. So that was one of my biggest fears. First off, I don't like to be put under. I've got a weird fear about being put under, like I might not wake up. I know that's an irrational one, or maybe it's not irrational. And then I've also got a fear that if I have it taken out, I will then be absolutely I will rely on pills or something for the rest of my life. The surgeon didn't really go into too much detail with me.
But
he just said, yep, cut it out.
If you have to, it doesn't matter though, Bodge. If it's going to make your life a whole lot better and you don't have to deal with pain, so what if you've got to pop some tablets each and every morning for the rest of your life? Well, it's going to save you.
Yeah.
It's the pain you don't have to worry about. And for me, I don't have to worry about, are they still in there? And
yeah.
I might have cancer in 10 years, 20 years, you know. It's a little price to pay.
Right.
Yeah. Surgery's less pain than an attack.
All right, Brad. Well, all right, you've swayed me this morning. I'll get it done. I'll lodge the paperwork today. I didn't want to do it. Just in case it was super quick. And they go, oh, actually, we can fit you in this afternoon, Mr. Bodger. Oh, no, I'm not ready for it today. But thanks, Brad. I appreciate you you telling us your story. It is quite a sad story, yeah. Especially considering it's about your mum. And
everyone gets cancer of the gallbladder, but it is a hard one to detect because it's further in the body, so they don't just... And like I said, it's only because she was getting it removed they found it. Otherwise, they wouldn't know. They knew she had gallstones but didn't know anything about the cancer until after it was removed.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate your time this morning and for having a chat with us.
Mm.
Yep. No worries, mate.
Too easy. All right. Well, looks like I'm off to the hospital later on today to lodge that paperwork.
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Bodge.
On Hit FM.
On Hit this morning, Christy and Bodge for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie, and that was Justin Bieber and Quavo, Christy. Quavo.
Why do you keep saying his name?
Quavo.
Quavo.
Quavo. Well, I got told, I was off yesterday, obviously, had a day of annual leave, and I got told, Bodge, just have a listen to this. I want to hear what you think about this.
Anyway, I've got a Justin Bieber featuring Quavo here with Intentions. It's 23 past 8 on Hit this morning.
Right, now, it's look, I understand it. Quavo, I mean, it could be like that. It's a little bit like guava. Do you get guavo?
Does it not look like guava? Guava? Does it not look like guava? The way it's spelled, Q-U-A-V-O, that looks like guava to me. So I'm going to say guava. Same with Qantas. I'm not going to say Qantas.
Qantas.
It's Qantas.
Yeah.
So when you say Q, a U, and an A.
I totally understand Quavo. It. I don't get defensive, mate. I understand it. If we go back in time a little bit to a previous co-host in a previous show, I had the same problem. Tarby Fridays, Cass and Bodge for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie, Travis Scott, Drake, Juicy J, Sway Lee. Sway Lee. To be honest, first off, he's a bit part in the song.
Okay.
He's not even the best part of it.
Oh.
And if he's going to spell his name all mental like that, S-W-A-E, that's Sway. I'm good at phonetics, mate.
Sway Lee.
Well, then, no.
Sway Lee. Practice.
Well, no.
Makes perfect.
Sway Lee. Well, see, to be fair, though, a lot of these artists, like, what's that 6ix9ine guy?
No.
We don't play him, but like he's got a 6 and then IX. As far as I'm concerned, that's either 6X or 6'9 if he's using Roman numerals.
I think he's 6'9.
Yeah, 6'9, but then he's got the 9 and then he's got the other stuff as well.
It's as bad as Elon Musk's baby with the weird
no one knows how to say that.
No.
Our newsreader was so, I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. I can't give you the full story because we don't know who we're talking about.
So what were you trying to do with pointing out that it's Quavo?
I'm just telling you, you're not alone. You're not alone in this, okay?
We all make
mistakes. It happens to everyone. I mean, we should know about the music a little bit more than this, but it's a Bieber song. Don't care the other bit part
who
in
it's
it.
Featuring, yeah.
Doesn't matter unless they're a big name. If it's something like Medusa and Good Boys, like that was an equal part. As far as I'm concerned, that was 50-50, that song.
Oh, I thought it was Medusa.
Oh,
no, I knew it was Medusa.
Don't even play those games with me.
If you want more of Christy and Bodge, catch up on the podcast at hit.com.au or hear them live weekday mornings from 6 on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.